Thank you, Brother Corey. What a wonderful song. And that's so true, that God may help us to give all glory to His name. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to open them to the book of Psalms, Psalm 100. Psalm 100. I believe that there is something important about looking into the Scriptures and seeing what God has to say for these important times. This last Sunday, my family and I gathered together as we heard Pastor Gillett's messages, and we were so blessed, and we sat there in our living room and opened our Bibles, and then today to have the opportunity to come and preach to you. I pray that God would bless you. So I do want to encourage you to grab a Bible, find a way to look up the Scriptures as I preach this evening, and I believe that God will use His Word to challenge our hearts. Psalm 100 says this, a psalm of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. The Lord God commands us here in His Word to serve Him with gladness. Tonight I'd like to preach a message entitled, Serve the Lord with Gladness. You know, as we are gathered in our homes and perhaps we don't know exactly what's going to happen over the next few days, as we have opportunities to serve God, may I encourage you to do so with gladness, to do it with joy in your heart. The Bible tells us here in Psalm 100, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. When we come before His presence, we should come before His presence with singing. My wife and I love to sing together as a part of our devotion time. From time to time, not every day, but my wife and I will kneel together or perhaps sit in across the room from each other and we'll begin to sing praises to the Lord. As a family, when our kids were growing up, quite often we would sing as a part of our devotional time. And when we serve God, we should do so with gladness. Now, why is it that we should serve the Lord with gladness? The Lord is our example regarding this in Psalm 105 and verse number 43. Psalm 105, 43 says, and He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness. Now, if you think about this, when God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, according to this verse, it says that God did so with joy. He rejoiced. He was glad about what He was doing. Notice what the Bible says in Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse number 17. Zephaniah 3:17 says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. You know, this verse is one of my favorites in all of the Bible because I like to think of God singing with joy when He thinks about me. That's what this verse says that God does when He considers you, when He considers me, when He considers what we do to show our love and thankfulness to Him. God literally starts singing songs of joy as He thinks about us. And He wants us to do the same as we consider everything that God has done for us. And so we should serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the Bible mentions that there are several reasons why that we may lose our joy and why we may lose our gladness. First of all, we can lose our gladness because of sin. When we allow sin to come into our hearts and lives, oh my, it's so difficult for us to be glad in serving God when we're living in sin, because sin breaks up our relationship with God. Not only that, bitterness. bitterness will cause us to lose our joy. You meet someone who's bitter, and it's difficult to be around them because it just comes out in everything they do, everything they say goes back to that which caused them to become bitter. The third reason we lose our joy is because of pessimism. You know, I'm afraid that some people today are a little pessimistic about the situation in which they find themselves. Just yesterday, as we sat around with our kids at home, I was telling them, you know, this is such a beautiful place that we can be here in our own house. We have the air conditioner on. I mean, it's Texas. You have to have the AC on unless you have the heater on. And we happen to have the AC on right then. My daughter is home from West Coast Baptist College, and she has been preparing incredible meals. Oh, my, we have eaten so well, eaten at home, had some things that we haven't eaten in a long time. God has blessed us with food. We have shelter. We have so many things. We should rejoice in all that God has given to us and not allow that root of pessimism to come in. Fourth, when we feel a loss of something we had hoped to receive. You know, I'm afraid that some folks today, they're suffering because they've lost their job. Perhaps they've lost their salary. Perhaps for the first time in their life, they're having to file for unemployment. Could we just take a moment and pray for them? And as we can remember them, and perhaps if you know someone like that, reach out to them and encourage them. But it's easy to lose our joy when we've lost something that we were expecting. Fifth, when we feel that our person or our rights have been violated. And sixth, if we fall into idolatry. What is idolatry? Well, idolatry is putting anything in the place of God. One person said it this way: it means to seek our satisfaction in that which displeases God. You see, God wants us to find our joy and our gladness in Him. When we consider the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24, he had a statement that he made there, trying to help us to consider what our goal in life should be. Paul wrote in Acts 20 and verse number 24, he said, "That I might finish my course with joy." So joy must be very important to God. Every Christian can learn to serve the Lord with gladness if he will remember the following seven truths that we're going to look at tonight. First of all, the Lord is good. Look at verse number 5 of our text. Going back to Psalm 100, verse number 5, the Bible says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." God's good. I went to the grocery store earlier today and found toilet paper. Can you believe that? I couldn't believe it. 12 rolls, packaged. They had piles of it there. Where, you may ask? Well, send me a private message and I'll tell you. But they had toilet paper. I was so shocked. I'd heard that no place in town had toilet paper. You know, we can be thankful for the little things that God allows in our lives. God is good. He has done so many wonderful things to bless us and encourage us. The second fact that we should remember is that our sins have been forgiven. If you would turn over quickly to the book of Matthew, chapter number 9 and verse number 2, Matthew 9 and verse number 2, and we find Jesus speaking with a man who was sick. And this man, in the course of his sickness, the Lord did something great in his life. But I want you to listen as I read this verse. It says in Matthew 9, verse 2, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Thy sins have been forgiven thee.'" Is there a reason for us to be cheerful in these days? Yes. We can rejoice because our sins have been forgiven. Maybe you're sitting at home and you'd say, "Well, Brother Bill, I don't even know how that could be possible. How could God forgive my sins?" The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, God will forgive us. I love Isaiah chapter number 6. And here we find Isaiah the prophet. The first few chapters, he runs around everywhere telling people, woe unto you that are drunkards. Woe unto you that are living in immorality. Woe that are unto you to all of these that are living in sin. We need to recognize that we're all sinners. That's true. But the Lord Jesus offers us salvation. Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He is the only one who has paid the price for our sin, and he is the only one who can forgive us of our sin. If you've never been saved, I'd like to encourage you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive your sin. Accept him as your Savior. If you need someone to talk to about your salvation, please contact Worth Baptist Church. We have many people on staff here that would be glad to help you to know the Lord as your personal Savior. The third reason that we must serve the Lord with gladness, the third truth that we must remember, is that our eternal home is in heaven. Have you considered lately that this world is not our home? I believe some of us this last week have probably thought about the fact that one day we will no longer live here upon earth. Where will you spend eternity? If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you know that your eternal home is in heaven. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke, chapter number 10 and verse number 20, that when we consider our eternal home in heaven, that should fill us with joy. The Bible says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. When Jesus was about to ascend back to his Father after his death and resurrection, he spoke to his disciples and he told them, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Our eternal home is in heaven. And I don't know about yours, but I'm looking forward to seeing mine. I'm looking forward to see what street I live on and what kind of construction materials the Lord is going to use and what kind of a house it is. I can only imagine what it must be like to be in that heavenly abode that the Lord is preparing for me and for all those who have put their trust and faith in him. And I want to encourage you to never forget that this world is not our home. We're just passing through, as the chorus says. But our home in heaven, that is where we're going to spend eternity. The fourth truth that we should remember if we want to serve the Lord with gladness is to remember that our reward in heaven is great. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter number 5 and verse number 12, that if we will remember that our reward in heaven is great, we will rejoice. The Bible says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Can you remember for just a moment that this world is not where we're going to have our eternal reward? Our eternal rewards will be in heaven. And the Bible says that we will have great rewards. How do we lay up treasure for ourselves in heaven? Well, the Bible says that in order to lay up treasure in heaven, there's some things we need to do here upon earth. Some of us are already committed to being a part of a local assembly where that we bring our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. That is biblical for us to do that. And I want to encourage you during this time where that you're in isolation perhaps, that you continue to be faithful to the Lord through your tithes and offerings. My family and I, we want to make sure we're doing the same. But may I also remind you that because of what we do here upon this earth, God, with great joy in his heart, is preparing to reward us beyond anything that we could imagine once we arrive in heaven. And so we must remember that our reward in heaven is great. The fifth truth that we must remember if we will serve the Lord with gladness is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, after that Paul here explains the resurrection of Jesus Christ and how that we can trust in the resurrection, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." A few months ago, I had the privilege of going to a church, and while I was there, a man came up to me, and he said, "Brother Bill, do you remember me?" And I said, "Well, I'm afraid I don't remember you." He said, "We met many, many years ago," he said, "when you were only 14 years old. I said, "Wow, you've got a great memory." He said, "I don't believe I've seen you since then." I said, "Well, how did we meet?" He told me that my mom and I had gone by his house on a Saturday afternoon when I was only 14 years old. My mother had started some children's classes at our church, and I was one of the Sunday school teachers. And we had gone that week, and my mom spoke to his mother, and I sat down outside on the ground with this young boy who was only 7 years old at the time, and we shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, "Brother Billy, you led me to the Lord as a 7-year-old boy." He said, shortly after that, our family moved away. He said, "I went to another church in another city." He said, "Recently, I've come here to this city to live, and I'm a member of the church here now. I'm actually the director of security for this church, but I want to thank you for leading me to Christ as a young boy." He said, "My life changed because of the gospel." Our labor in the Lord is not in vain. That child on your street for whom you've prayed, your ministry to them may not show fruit now. It may be many years from now, but our labor in the Lord is never in vain. And we can rejoice and serve God with joy and gladness in our heart, knowing that our labor is not in vain. The way in which we right now are investing our lives in other people and encouraging them to seek the Lord during these difficult days, our labor is not in vain, and we can rejoice even now, not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds the future. And I am so grateful that God has promised us that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. The sixth reason that we can rejoice, the sixth truth that we should remember, is when we remember that the Lord is at hand. Listen to the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 5. Please remember that when Paul wrote these verses, he was in a jail cell in Rome. He was in that Mamertine prison. This is one of the prison epistles. This is an epistle that when he wrote this, he himself was confined. And he says these words. He says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." And if he wrote these words almost 2,000 years ago, may I just remind you that the coming of the Lord is closer now than it's ever been. The Bible speaks of wars and rumors of wars. The Bible speaks of earthquakes and pestilences. I believe we're living in those days of which the Bible speaks. And I believe, I am convinced that the coming of the Lord is near. Let's be ready for his coming. Let's be watching for his coming. God wants us to rejoice as we remember that his coming is nigh. The seventh truth that we should remember if we're going to serve the Lord with gladness is that our suffering in this life will bring eternal joy. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 13, that when we sometimes go through difficult trials and we keep our faith and trust in God, this suffering will bring us joy throughout all of eternity. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:13, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." I doubt anyone is ever going to forget March of 2020. I think years and years from now, as you look back on this time, as you speak to your children or perhaps grandchildren, if the Lord should tarry his coming, you will tell them of a time where that you went into isolation in a way that you had never done so before. You will tell them of shortages at the grocery store such as you had never faced. You will tell them of things that no one could have ever imagined. And yet you will also be able to tell them how God brought you through this time and how you were able to serve him with gladness and with exceeding joy in your heart because of all that he had done for you. Now I have to ask this question. Is it really necessary? Is it necessary to serve the Lord with gladness? It's obvious that some people may serve God without having joy in their heart. Does God really care if we serve him with gladness? May I ask you to please accompany me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I'd like to show you something in closing that I believe will help you to understand the point of this message. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28, we're going to go to verse number 45. Deuteronomy 28. Take just a moment and please look this verse up. I believe it will truly help you. Deuteronomy 28, verse 45. The Bible says, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee, for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever." Why? "Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things." May I just remind you, God has given us so many things. He has been so good to us. He has blessed us far beyond what we deserve. Sometimes I know that I have taken those things for granted. Sometimes God has to allow trials to come in my way, into my life, to help me to be able to remember that I need to serve God, and I need to serve him with gladness, with joy, as I remember all that he has done for me, for all of the things that God has done in my life. I need to serve the Lord with gladness. I'd like to encourage you to do something tonight. After we close this message, would you gather your family around and just take a few moments and ask everyone there to give a short testimony of what God has done in their life, of the good things that God has given to us. Given to you, given to your wife, given to your son, to your daughter, to your parents. And then just take a moment and pray and thank God for all he has done in our life. Our God is so good. He deserves that we should serve him with gladness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing your word to speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to serve you with gladness, to come into your presence with singing. Lord, to know that you are good will help us to remember to serve you as we should and to do so with gladness. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for being so good to us. Please help us to be faithful to you in these important days. In Jesus' name I pray.